Good morning, I'd like to call the Fifth Osage Nation Congress to order. We are on day eight of our leisure sessions. It is September 13th, the time is 10:05 a.m. Congressman Supernaw, if you pray for us this morning, please.
Father God, look down on us today and be with us as we deliberate the business of this nation. Let us make good decisions for the Osages today and those who will come after us. Bless our soldiers and protect them wherever they may be in the world. And we thank you for allowing us to be a sovereign people for all these eons of time into the future. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Bethlehem.
Present.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Present.
Congressman Hamilton.
Here.
Congressman Baker.
Here.
Congressman Mason.
Present.
Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congressman Shaw.
Here.
Congressman Supernaw.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Speaker Pratt.
Present.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
Present.
We have a quorum. Next is approval of the journal. Would you please review the journal for September 12th? Congresswoman Bethlehem.
Motion to approve the legislative journal for September 12th.
Motion made and seconded to approve the journal. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The journal for September 12th is approved. Next is reports of select committees. Are there any select committees to report this morning? Seeing none, reports of standing committees. Are there any standing committees? Next is introductions of bills and resolutions. Are there any bills or resolutions to be introduced? Okay, we're on bills and resolutions on first reading. Congressman Shaw.
Speaker, Assistant Principal Chief, members of Congress, and guests. Today I'm reading an ONCR 1738, a resolution to authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and consent to jurisdiction to Bank of Oklahoma Financial NA, BOKF NA, for Treasury services to the Washaji Health Clinic.
Thank you. ONCR 1738 is assigned to the Health and Social Services Committee. knowledge and order day one. Congresswoman Edwards.
Reading in ONCA 1772, an act to authorize and appropriate $9,300,000 to the Health Benefit Plan Fund from, fiscal year 2018, and to establish an alternate effective date.
Thank you. We're on general order day three, where the amendments are voted on and the order received. Please bear with me for a moment to get a copy. Hard to read. Congresswoman Edwards.
So people can follow along in the journal, is that right?
Well, that's what, I don't quite have a copy. A copy of the journal was emailed out. Actually, you have it. Okay. We've all got it, and some members have been given a copy of the legislation. They couldn't pull it up on. Electronically. Okay. There are three amendments. Amendment number one, page one, line 18. Strike be fair and treat the parties equally when setting, and insert require equal briefing opportunities. Discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
So the declaratory judgment law was enacted to allow the executive branch and the legislative branch to bring questions before the Supreme Court regarding constitutionality. And it's a broad law, and as a result, there were some rules put in place by the Supreme Court that resulted in one of the parties, the filing party, having more briefing opportunities than the other party. So instead of what is, I guess I would caution and use the word customary in a declaratory judgment situation, you often have one side that says these are the questions that or the issues that have arisen, and then the other side responds to that and says, you know, we agree, or maybe we think there's some different issues that have arisen. Then the first party that filed the action files a brief. The responding party responds, and in instances where the court allows, then the first party replies usually to whatever was put in that response, and then the second party replies to that. So you have equal briefing opportunities. So first brief, response brief, reply brief, what sometimes they call surreply. The law didn't specify that. And therefore, that's not what's been happening. So this simply says, hey, let's have equal briefing opportunities for the parties. Right now, we're having first person and a brief. Second person or entity responds to that brief. And then first person comes back again and says, here's how we reply to that. But that second party doesn't get to respond again. So this just makes clear that got equal briefing opportunities for both parties.
More discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I support the amendment. I think it makes it more clear than what was in the existing language. Equal briefing opportunities is very concise and means what it says, and I support this amendment. I'm in that case.
Any more discussion? None, roll call vote.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supranoff?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bucklehead?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. Amendment number one passes. Amendment number two, page one, line 36, strike divide and insert change.
Okay, this next amendment is regarding when the two branches have a dispute, they are to bring the dispute to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court then has to look at that dispute and say, okay, this is what we're going to work on. This language just makes clear that the parties are going to frame what the dispute is, and then the Supreme Court's going to work on that dispute. So you're not going to get into a situation where the Supreme Court sua sponte or on its own saying, oh, well, we've got 10 more questions we want to pose too. Because there are briefing limitations, and frankly, one question could take up the whole amount of your briefing limitation. So when you've got a distinct question, and often you see this in cases where one court might send a question to another court in a state or federal situation, mostly a federal court sending a question down to a state court, they frame a distinct, narrow question, and then that court is to answer that distinct, narrow question, not start talking about something else. If you have another question, then you put it down. But this is saying, hey, we need to have the distinct issue framed by the parties, and then the court's going to work on that distinct issue as framed by the parties. Pretty simple. I just thought the language made more sense to when you said change the question.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Buffalohead.
I'm going to support these amendments because I believe that it makes the piece of legislation a little bit better, and I am at this point a no vote on this bill. I get where you're going, but I also believe that all three branches have a role, and while I may not agree that the court decided to throw some extra things in there, I also believe that maybe they had a reason for that, and maybe it's because we've ended up in court so many times and they were thinking, let's just look at some areas that seem to keep coming back to us and try to give them an answer before we end up in court again. I don't know, and I haven't had any conversations with anyone. I'm just saying I have to believe that they thought it was in the best interest to include them for whatever reason, and I don't know what those reasons are. So I am going to support the amendments because I think that if it passes, then I would be, even if I vote no, it would be a better bill with the amendments that we're looking at today than without.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, roll call.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supranoff?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethelhead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. Amendment number two passes. Amendment number three, page two, line 59. Strike as an impartial body and strike the remainder of the sentence after brief and insert and shall establish briefing schedules which afford each party an equal opportunity to present matters on the distinct questions presented to the court. Discussion? Congresswoman Edwards?
Well, I mean, I think that it goes without saying that our Supreme Court is an impartial body. And this just underscores what was in the heading, that you're going to get equal briefing opportunities.
Any more discussion?
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supermaugh?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethelhead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. Okay. Amendment number 3 passes, and ONCA 1767 will advance to third reading after engrossment. Next is ONCA 17106, an act to ratify the passage of legislation previously passed by the Osage Nation Congress with less than 7 votes and to establish an alternate effective date. Amendment number 1, page 1, line 16, strike 7 votes and insert a concurrence of a majority of the entire membership of the Osage Nation Congress. Is there any discussion? Congressman Shaw?
This amendment seeks to match the language that we recently voted on to establish a rule change. For we don't list 7 votes, we actually, it's the same language I place in the amendment that says the concurrence of the majority of the entire membership of the Osage Nation Congress. There are situations where the Osage Nation Congress may, for a period of time, be composed of less than 12, for example, in the situations of death, resignation, or removal. And I believe our election code calls that if that should happen, and it's less than 180 days to the next election, that they will not fill that seat. If it's more than 180, they fill the seat, I believe, of number 7 on the previous vote. So for a period of time, you might have 11 members or less, just say realistically, you might drop to 11, in which case it wouldn't be 7 votes. The concurrence of the majority of the entire membership of Congress would be 6. So rather than try to set a specific number, which is not for this, for passing a bill or a law, rather than specify 7, use the same language that we put in our new rule adoption that states a concurrence of the majority of the entire membership of the Osage Nation Congress. So that's the purpose.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I support this amendment.
Any more discussion?
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
No.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supermaugh.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethelhead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Amendment passes, and 17106 is advanced to third reading after engrossment. We are now on motions and notices. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Appropriations Committee will meet immediately following session, and we will have Mr. Johnson, the HR director, with us today at the table. So any other members are interested in signing, I would welcome them.
Okay. Congressman Shaw.
Health and Social Services Committee will meet today from 1 to 2:30.
Thank you. Congressman Hamilton.
Education will meet today from 2:45 to 4.
Okay. Thank you. Congressman Mason.
Just acknowledge to the body that I'll be absent tomorrow due to medical procedure scheduled in Tulsa, so in case there are any votes or coming up. The one member absent tomorrow, me. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I would like to just put out there for members to think about, we have been invited to the topping off ceremony at the new Tulsa Casino, and I would just, I have heard from several members that they would like to attend that ceremony. I've also spoken with the CEO of gaming that we could possibly tour the new property. So it might plan a morning of attending the topping off ceremony and then go for a tour. But we would have to delay session and start at a later time if that's what members choose to do. So I just wanted to have that open discussion with all of us right now, because I've heard from a few that, you know, obviously we have business to take care of, and I understand that, but we do have the ability to start at a later time. So Congresswoman Buffalohead.
I don't know, I don't have any, but that's just because I'm not on any committees that as of right now have posted a meeting, like GovOps and Culture and CA.
Oh.
So what committee meetings do we have scheduled for the 18th? Because
As of right now, we have a commerce meeting scheduled at 1 p.m. That was scheduled, I believe, yesterday. So, Congressman Walker.
The 18th. I have a meeting. The 18th?
Yes.
I have a meeting scheduled on the 18th.
You have two.
Mm-hmm.
Deliberations
and Congress.
I
don't have a meeting.
Okay, yours has not been posted, so I apologize, I wasn't here.
You as in RJ?
You as in RJ.
What time?
And,
okay.
When did that come? Okay, and appropriations has been noticed this morning. I'm sorry, when I looked at this last night and prepared to discuss this today, order please. When I looked at this last night and prepared to discuss it, there was only a commerce meeting set at that time. Congressman Walker.
Well, I'll just go ahead and, you know, go ahead and get this out there. I'm going to have a heck of a time processing all of the sections in 1799, even with that meeting scheduled. So, I mean, that's a necessity for me to even get close. So I'm going to meet that day unless I don't have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Congressman Shaw.
I guess the only other pertinent point about our processing the sections of 1799, for that matter, all over, but that particular, is because we have the 20th deadline, which is 2 days later from that. So if we weren't able to meet in our committee meetings, or committee meetings can't be accommodated because we're going to put in a session sometime different time during the day, that's going to make it more difficult to reach. So I share the concern with Congressman Walker. I don't have a meeting on that day, although I was thinking about it because I saw an opening at 3, but I guess 3 is government operations. Is that what I understand?
Yes, I think it's 3:15 to 4:45.
So part of that, you know, so someone may want to wish to schedule a meeting, you know, even at 5. I don't know when you would be able to do a session that day. But I'm just still concerned about the 20th, trying to get everything done and to the Appropriations Committee through the staff by the 20th, and have a day to where you aren't productive.
I understand. Congresswoman Buffalohead and then Congresswoman Whiteburn.
Well, there was a bunch of us talking before Congressman Shaw, so I didn't hear everything, but I don't see why we have to have session that morning and just still hold the committee meetings in the afternoon, and then we're able to do the entire day. We could even work into the evening if necessary until 10 o'clock, right?
Yes. Congressman
Whiteford. Well, I was thinking it was... That's a good point the Congressman Buffalo had made, but if we need to meet in session that day, why not after GovOps, and then my meeting could be IFS after that, after the session after GovOps, if that's what we want to do. But if we're not going to have session, I'll rearrange appropriations to get with you today.
Just briefly, I wasn't proposing that we not have session. I wasn't proposing one way or the other. I'm just having the discussion. That's what I was saying. Maybe we could start afternoon session. I just wanted to see if everyone could think about how we could and accommodate for if there's a majority of members who would like to attend We can reschedule the day, is all I'm putting out there. We do have the ability to work until, I thought it was 10 p.m., and last time Congressman Mason said he thinks it's midnight, so I'm not quite sure, but I know we can go late, so. Okay. Congresswoman Edwards, and then Congressman Mason.
Well, again, this underscores what happens when we ask that people not schedule these events that we'd like to attend during session at 10 a.m. We keep having that happen, but be that as it may, the last meeting's over at 5, so we could meet at 5 p.m., and then appropriations could meet after session.
Well, I will say that we have had that conversation with the executive branch, that while we're in session, we asked that they, to give us the ability to attend, that they started a later time, and they have been accommodating by starting things at noon. But this is the gaming enterprise who has scheduled this, and so we did not make that request to them. They also have other members the construction entities and whatnot that, you know, would like to attend as well. I'm just saying, we're not the only people that are invited, so if we can accommodate around it to attend, then we can. Congressman Mason, and then Congressman Walker.
Yes, thank you. We all know that we have some very important things to take care of here in regards to our budgets and FY18, and that's a main charge that we have is a meeting here in this session. And the other side of that, in my other hand, I carry this idea and thought that, you know, because of the members of this Congress, that monies move around and things happen, and we have this great facility being built, this casino and resort. I understand it was advertised on the television this morning for this topping off ceremony. And we as a Congress, you know, this Congress, all of us sitting here, we get a piece of that. We are responsible for a part of that happening. And I feel excited about that this thing is, we're at that particular topping off ceremony of that facility. I would like to be there, but I'd also like to see us go ahead and meet and take care of business at hand. If we could do both, that'd be great. But I will follow the lead of the body, of course, see what you think. I'll be here one way or the other.
Thank you. I agree with everything you just said. Congressman Walker.
Well, how could you not agree with that, what you just said? But as far as I'm concerned, the topping off ceremony is going to happen whether we're there or not. We are in session this month. If we meet at 5, have a committee meeting in the evening, I mean, that's going to inconvenience those of us with families and schedules. It's going to inconvenience our staff. I would prefer to go on about our normal course of business and take care of session duties rather than go hang out at the topping ceremony. That's my opinion.
Thank you for that. Okay, well, I'm Congresswoman Edwards.
Can we please have a resolution so those of us that come from afar know which direction to travel on Monday?
I don't know exactly that unless we vote on it, I don't know that we'll come up with a resolution at this moment, but I wanted to have that discussion because I'm hearing from half and half at this point. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to start session at 5 p.m. on September 18th.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Signify by saying yes. Okay, roll call, please.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
No.
Congressman Supernaw?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
No.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Baker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. The motion passes. We will begin at 5:00 p.m. on Monday, the 18th. And then, I guess, there's more further discussion on the committee meetings. Okay. Anything else? If there is anything, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn until today.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. We are adjourned until tomorrow at 10:00 a.m.
Last beam.
Session at 5:15 or 5:00?
5:00.
5:00.
Everybody's building, you can see.